Every story told has a plot, a twist, and that moment where everyone is reminded why they bothered listening to the story in the first place. This week's episode of Sokala Duma Transfer Rap is all about that. Hello and welcome to it. I'm your host, Nkululeko Nkeu. Masebe Klena will be covering Manyiso's transfer to Mamelodi Sundowns, whilst Keegan Kruger will walk us through Neymar's massive transfer to PSG. Kaizer Chiefs are rumored to be looking to let go of their two legends. Peter Tutoi talks to us about that. Ladies and gents, enjoy the show. Radio. It's been a week of interesting transfers. It's probably the biggest week in terms of transfers both here at home and abroad as well, with the transfer of Neymar, with the transfer at home of Aubameyang to Mamelodi Sundowns. I don't think it will get bigger than this. I'm joined now by Masebe Klena, Sokala Duma journalist, to talk about local transfers. Masebe, how are you doing today?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm very, very well, man. It's an incredible week. Do you think that it will get bigger than this in terms of transfers? We'll talk about Manyiso, but your opinion, do you think that there will be any transfer that will be as big as Aubameyang from Orlando Pirates to Mamelodi Sundowns in this transfer window?
Not in that way. I don't think there will be any transfer like that. A player from Paris to Sundowns is as big as Manyiso. But there will be big transfers happening. I mean, the Paris chairman himself said it when he announced Manyiso's move to Sundowns. He did mention that they're working on a couple of things. And there could be players, more players like leaving and others coming, joining Paris. So it's going to be interesting.
Talking about the chairman and the fact that there's still more dealings to happen, Verts wants Mubar. And Orlando Pirates want something that Verts have. We'll dissect the story. You know more than we know. But what we already know now is that Tyson Tlatshwayo is admired by Orlando Pirates. He's a fan of Orlando Pirates. Verts want Mubara. He's a 23-year-old South African Olympian, South African international player. He's formerly played for Ajax Cape Town. He's a utility player for Orlando Pirates, rather. What do you think is happening at this moment here with Verts wanting Mubara?
Yeah, we've been told, you know, there's been informal talks about that. Vets do admire Mubara. They like him. As for him leaving Pirates for Vets in this transfer window, I'm not too sure if it's gonna happen. He's a very good player, a hardworking player, versatile. Any coach in the PSL would love to have him in his team. He's done very well for Pirates in his first season, won the Nedbank Cup Player of the Tournament, arguably one of the best, or if not the top performer for Pirates from last season, as we all know that they have had a disappointing season. There's been mention of a possible swap where Pirates interested in some of the players. Tyson, as you already mentioned, there's been quite a few others, like your Kolani Mlambo. We know that they like him a lot at Pirates, and Jangase Pumlani, as well as Ben Motswari. Yeah, but I honestly don't think there's gonna be a move for Mubara from Pirates to Vets. We've heard the story on our website that his name is being discussed at Pirates for a possible
captaincy role.
Yes.
Interesting. Interesting. I mean, maybe the armband will keep him. Maybe the fact that Pirates want to, that's why it will lead to him going the other way around. All right. Chiefs have just scooped a player from Bloemfontein Celtic in Dumisane Zuma. Now we know from sources that Kaizer Chiefs are looking at Matlasela. Let's talk a little bit about that before we move on to the big story of the transfer window.
Yeah, Kabelo Matlasela has done very well at Fraser Stars. Bloemfontein Celtic last season. He was one of the best performing players there, doing very well. I'm not sure if Bloemfontein Celtic will be keen to lose another top player right now. You know, like you mentioned, Dumisane Zwane has left. His contract expired, and the Chiefs acted very quickly there and signed him. And Musa Nyadama, of course, is another top performer for them from last season. Has been signed by Orlando Pirates. Played his first game in the Soweto Derby against Chiefs. From what we have been told, Celtic management want to do everything to try and keep their players, but if that won't stop interested clubs to make inquiries about their players.
What's his contract situation though? Is it someone that has 12 months left, or he still has 2 years, so someone will need to fork out money for him? What's his current status at the moment?
He's got another year to run on his contract. His contract will expire in June next year. The danger here, I'm happy you raised that question. The danger here is that if Celtic keep him now, and hope that they will extend his contract, and maybe the player doesn't want to extend, the risk is that they may lose him for free, like it happened with Zuma. So they need to think very careful about this one and make a decision.
Alright, it's interesting. We'll take a look at it as it unfolds, and Masebe Krena, the legendary journalist, will write articles about the story as it unfolds. Before I let you go though, as an experienced man in football, as a football man, there's no way that we're not going to be able to talk about this confirmed transfer. Usually we talk about confirmed transfers, we mention the names of the players that have signed officially for clubs, but this man, Opamanyisa, for Orlando Pirates, and the chairman, when he was speaking, that's Ivan Koz, the chairman of Orlando Pirates, he said that he leaves Orlando Pirates as a decorated player, to Mamelodi Sundowns. We need to understand from your perspective, what does this mean? Mamelodi Sundowns getting a huge player from Orlando Pirates. We know that Orlando Pirates got Wayne Sandilands from Mamelodi Sundowns, but you can argue that it was past his prime. But Opamanyisa still in his prime, Orlando Pirates captain, similar to how Teko Modise moved from Pirates to Sundowns. What does this mean for Pirates? What does it mean for the player? What does it mean for Sundowns?
Let me start off by saying, for Pirates, the Opamanyisa's move to Sundowns is a loss. Has been a top player for Pirates, a captain. He has seen it all. He was there when they were winning trophies, doing well, both locally and on the continent. But I can't really blame the chairman for allowing him to move on. I mean, he has done everything he could have done at Pirates. Maybe he sat down with the player. They discussed it, and he said, "No, my son, you've done well now. You can move on." As for him joining Sundowns, you know, Sundowns is a top club, no doubt about it. African champions. Very good coach there, who's very ambitious, who wants all the best players in the country to be in his team. He is gonna contribute. There's no doubt about that. My Opa is a very, very, very top player. With their ambitions at Sundowns of wanting to win everything in the PSL as well as in the continent, he will fit there, and I'm sure he'll contribute like Teko did. You remember when Teko left Paris, there were those talks that he was not winning things and all that, but it changed at Sundowns because that's the club where he actually achieved a lot in his career. So we can just wait and see. But
you're mentioning something very, very important in your statement now. You allude to Sundowns, and this is our last thing now before we let you go. You mentioned Sundowns' ambition and Peter Musamana's ambition. Last question. Does that ambition, that desire for success for Sundowns means, does that mean lack of ambition, lack of desire for success for Pirates?
Not at all. Not at all. Like I mentioned earlier, Opa helped the Pirates to achieve a lot of things. They achieved, I mean, they won the treble, they won the double treble, they won trophies, they reached the final of the African Champions League Confederation Cup. He was there, he contributed a lot. I mean, a player can't be in the same team forever. Replacements have been made by Pirates for him. I believe that the signing of Thamsanqa Sangweni was one of the is seen as a replacement for Ace. You can't really say that there was a lack of ambition. They just allowed him to move on.
Masebe Kleiner, and I knew that I was going to value your contribution to this. We appreciate your time, sir. That's Masebe Kleiner, Sokola Duma journalist. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you very much.
Kaizer Chiefs have recently announced a couple of signings, Bongolotu Jaiya amongst them. And in the technical bench as well, we've seen Patrick Mabedi moving and replacing John Pansel to assist Steve Compella for the coming season. There's been rumors now from sources mentioning the fact that Kaizer Chiefs may let go of legends Donald Kuse and Dr. Khumalo. There's a story behind this and it's interesting. I'm joined now on the line by Peter Dutoy, founder of Sokola Duma. Peter, how's it?
Good, man. And hello to all the Sokola Duma readers, listeners and users.
There's something in here. It's still a story. It's a rumor developing. Sources are mentioning the fact that Chiefs may let go of legends Dr. Khumalo and Donald Kuse. What's the story behind the story here?
Well, let's put the story into context. So the first thing we have to look at is, remember, Sokola Duma has excellent relationships with most of the legends in South African football. Mm. So we've got a pretty good insight as to what's happening in football clubs via legends. So we have a good relationship with legends. The second thing that we've got to look at in this particular situation, Dr. Khumalo writes for Sokola Duma. So we obviously have an outstanding relationship with Dr. And he's written for us for many, many years. So the third factor we need to look at here is that if you look at the history of Ace Kuze and Dr. Khumalo at Kaizer Chiefs, you would have imagined that they would have been groomed or were being groomed to eventually take over running the club from a coach point of view. Mm. When you consider that Ace Kuze has been assistant coach many, many times, Dr. Khumalo has been assistant coach many, many times. Both of them have been assistant coaches in successful times. Mm. And if you remember correctly,
at some point, they were caretaker coaches at the same time.
Correct. After Mushin Ertuğrul left the first time. Mm. And on top of that, they've been outstanding players in South Africa. So they're well-respected from a fan point of view, and they're exceptionally well-respected from a player point of view. You have a situation at Kaizer Chiefs right now where, after a successful spell as assistant coach, Stuart Baxter, where they won two league titles out of three and other trophies, after 1 year on the bench with Steve Compella, Doc was ousted and replaced by John Pansel, and that hasn't been successful. And instead of looking inside the club to Ace Kuze or Dr. Khumalo, who have done that job before, or even a potential newcomer who's been coaching within the ranks and was also supposedly groomed for that kind of role, Arthur Zwani, they went outside. Yes, he's an ex-captain of Kaizer Chiefs and knows the club well, but he'd been out of the club for quite a while. Mm. And it takes time to get back. They went to Patrick Mabedi. So what does it tell you? So it tells you that while Steve Compella's coach, certainly, there's probably no future for Ace Kuze or Dr. Khumalo with the first team. But then you would imagine that they'd have a huge role somewhere else. And reports that we get is that Doc has no real role at Kaizer Chiefs right now. And there's been no indication that Doc has got a role going forward. And rumors coming from not from within the camp as well is that Chiefs are looking to let them go. Now that's a very strange state of affairs. Why would Kaizer Chiefs lose two assets like Dr. Khumalo and Ace Kuze? It's strange, but that's the story. And we're following that one closely.
Now, looking at the thing, they've worked in the technical team, like you've mentioned, as assistants and as caretaker coaches. And Doc has been part of a technical team that has been successful under Stuart Baxter. One would say that it's been a regressing step for them from the technical team to assisting with the development. Why would you think that they wouldn't be utilized by Kaizer Chiefs? Because they've proven as players as exemplary players, and you would say they were one team men as players, and they've proven as coaches, as assistants. Why would a club not show faith to those guys? Why would they not give them bigger roles as opposed to developmental roles or scouting roles?
You know, that's a question that I would ask as well of the club, and it would be very interesting to hear what the club would say, but it's a question I don't think the club will answer, because the answer should be players like Dr. Kamala and Ace Kuze. If you look at Germany, you've got Franz Beckenbauer and Rummenigge. They're top players, play a senior role. Bobby Charlton and Brian Robson even if it's an ambassadorial role. Doc and Ace are not even used strongly in an ambassadorial role at the club. From a marketing point of view, they could be used around the country. That's not even being used. So the way it's a waste of an asset, and why is Kaizer Chiefs wasting such an asset? In our opinion, it's not even an opinion. The asset has been wasted. Mm. That's a question Kaizer Chiefs got to answer. But would they answer? Probably not. Mm. Maybe their answer would be that Steve Compella chooses his assistants, and he didn't want Ace Kuze or Dr. Kamala. But then there should be another role for these players. But you must put this against the background. There's a lot going on at Kaizer Chiefs that needs answering anyway. And we'll address these issues going into the season. But at the end of the day, if the team does well and they start challenging for the league title, all these things are forgotten. If the team doesn't do well, then these things are highlighted even more. That's the nature of football, the football business.
Mm, and playing devil's advocate here, before we let you go, Peter, one would say that these men need to go and prove their worth elsewhere, and perhaps maybe in future they can come back as successful coaches. You remember that Eric Tinkler was almost successful with Orlando Pirates. They let him go. He proved himself at Cape Town City, and now there have been voices that maybe he shouldn't have been let go. Perhaps then Dr. Kumalo and Donald Kuse maybe then should go elsewhere, like Tebogo Moloi, go elsewhere, prove themselves, and maybe in the next 5-10 years, we'll know them as successful coaches that Chiefs cannot resist to take them on board again.
That would make sense if that was the policy. And if Chiefs said, look, Dr. Kamal and Ace Kuze need to leave the nest and prove themselves as coaches before we would look at them, if that's what they believe, then they should make that public. It would be a bit strange, though. Surely they should have said that to Ace Kuze and Dr. Kamalo at the very beginning, and not spend X amount of time or many, many years of having them as assistant coaches and so on. It's almost as if why groom somebody as an assistant coach for someone else? Mm. So the question, one of the biggest problems in South African football, and it's highlighted in these instances, is South African football, and that includes Kaizer Chiefs, seems to act on short-term plans and going for short-term gain at the risk of long-term pain, whereas proper planning is all about short-term pain for long-term gain. And we hear lots of promises from clubs and South African football in general about the long-term future, but the same mistakes keep getting made again and again. And the stadium disaster that we had at FNB now is just another example of we have problems and we get promised all these solutions and inquiries, but nothing actually gets done. And if you go to what happened after Ellis Park and that inquiry and a lot of things that were not implemented have been said. Orderly queues, just one simple thing like orderly queues, doesn't exist. International football all over the world. Why are we treated differently in Africa to 55,000 people or 70,000 people in a game at Barcelona, Real Madrid, or Milan, AC Milan? Why is that different to Chiefs versus Pirates from an orderly point of view? And you can't just say it's the fans, because it's not. It would be like saying pupils are to blame if the results are bad. Teachers are in charge. So it's the same kind of thing. We don't learn from mistakes. We need to start learning from our mistakes. Mistakes are okay, because we all make mistakes. Myself, Sokoladuma, everybody makes mistakes. But is, do you learn from mistakes and do you take action on those mistakes? Alex Ferguson was always quoted in a wonderful expression, and he says, it's not about whether you win or lose. It's about how you react to the victory and how you react to the defeat. Mm-hmm. And so part of this is just an example of what is Kaizer Chiefs' long-term plan going forward on the football field from a coaching perspective. Where is the Kaizer Chiefs? Who is the Kaizer Chiefs coach for 5 years' time? Are we going to keep going outside? The same applies to Atlanta Pirates, the chopping and changing of coaches. Where is the long-term planning? So that is a critical, until that's answered, we're always going to be looking for quick fixes and short-term fixes, and then nothing gets built. And the Ace Crews and the Dr. Kamala is a perfect example of either they must say, look, they're not up to scratch, and then we're getting rid of them, but surely there would be other roles for them within the club. Or does their face just simply not fit in with some people right now?
It's a very interesting scenario with Kaizer Chiefs. I suppose then the fact that it may be a huge mistake for them will only be revealed by time. But Peter, we thank you very much for your time and your thoughts. That's Peter Dutoy, the founder of Sokola Duma. Thank you so much, sir.
Pleasure.
It's one of the most amazing stories of the week, most amazing stories of the year, most amazing stories of football for all time. The most important moment of our culture, of our sports. Some may say that we're going down, we're doomed to fail, and it's doubled the record that was paid by Manchester United to Juventus for Paul Pogba. I'm talking about Neymar. Neymar has joined Paris Saint-Germain from Barcelona for a sum that is said to be 222 million euros, 198 million pounds. It's amazing. It's incredible. Sometimes I'm at a loss for words. That's why I've invited now a journalist, Sokola Duma international journalist, Keegan Kruger, to break it down for us, for me, for you, for himself as well. Maybe he's still in disbelief. Well, he doesn't really have the luxury of not believing because he's a journalist. He has to be objective. Keegan Kruger, thank you very much for your time. How are you doing, sir?
Thanks for having me. Yeah, good. But shocked, actually, that it's actually come true.
And it's been a long-running saga, long-running story. It had bit parts where you felt like you were watching a soap opera unfolding with the directors and script writers in conflict with what to plot next. Because at some point Barcelona were refusing to let the player go, the league refused to accept the money. But that's water under the bridge now. It's neither here nor there. The fact is, Neymar is a PSG player. At 25 years old, he's laid a platform for himself to become one of the biggest players in football, to surpass Messi and Ronaldo. Let's talk about the nitty-gritties about the deal. Let's talk about the importance of the deal, how it went down.
Yeah, so, okay. So Thursday, Neymar and PSG's representatives went to La Liga to pay over the money. The money was not accepted. And the words that came out of the league's face was they did not understand. They don't accept the payment because they do feel that FIFA rules were not being respected, and the financial fees, and they didn't they weren't happy with the fact that they didn't want to sit with the money, knowing that there's no fair play in this whole situation. So they sort of tried to buy time in the whole situation. There was a lot of back and forth about this. Apparently the agents left the building 15 minutes later. And then it wasn't a real roller coaster ride because we weren't too sure, will it happen today? Would it happen in a week's time? What would happen in the space? The French league had their say about the whole matter. And then everything kicked off really, really quickly.
They weren't happy about it. They were not happy about that because they would have felt bullied by La Liga, because I mean a lot of players move from one league to another and we don't see this kind of standoff. So they were not happy about it. They stumped their authority, and in no time we saw the deal unfolding. Let's talk about the amounts that were paid. We hear that it's double the amount that was paid by Paul Pogba. Can you confirm to us the amounts and the monies that you will get paid per week and so on and so forth?
So the players' release clause was 222 million euros. And if we want to break it down a little bit, it comes down to 30 million a year. And that's what the player will be getting after tax. If we break it down even more, it would be 2.5 million a month. And if we break it down even further to per week, they say it's around 645,000 euro a week. And that's all after tax.
And you don't get any prizes for guessing that he's probably, if not the best highest paid player, he would be amongst the highest paid players per week after this deal.
Definitely. A lot of the times, well, we've reported a lot of times that Messi and Ronaldo's wages per week is got to do a lot of it before tax. Okay, so they might be earning money, big money before tax, or more than this before tax, but we know that in Spain, it's a heavily taxed country. So those players get close to, I think, 40%. So he's definitely one of, if not the best player or best paid player in the world.
Let's look at La Liga and Ligue 1. Ligue 1 needs this kind of star player after losing Ibrahimovic to the English Premier League. They had Cavani, they had Lavezzi, and some of the guys went to China. Ligue 1 would do with this star. And as a result, PSG would then reclaim. I'd like to think, I'm imagining, and I'm predicting the future here, and I can always be wrong, but I'm imagining that PSG would reclaim their glory from AS Monaco, who took the title last season. Let's talk about PSG quickly, about how we would fit in there, and then we'll revisit Barcelona, because we need to find out who are they going to replace.
Yeah, it comes for PSG. I think it makes sense on a lot of, you know, different levels. The fact that is they're building, or they've been building this project, or and you know, trying to dominate or win a European competition.
In the ever elusive UEFA Champions League.
100%. And this is just part of that puzzle. And I think it takes them one step closer, or they feel this transfer will take them one step closer. Commercially, this is a massive, massive win for PSG. The amount of shirt sales, ticket sales, you know, things will really, really will really boost, you know.
And the interest, I'm imagining even the TV rights, some countries who do not watch La Liga, rather Ligue 1, would be interested in having Ligue 1 as part of their package, because they want to see the biggest player in the continent, in the planet, if he becomes that.
100%. And that's the thing, having the name Neymar now allows you to push certain boundaries, and especially in areas and in countries that probably your brand was not very strong. Not too sure how PSG as a club is seen in Brazil, but believe me, it will be seen in a different light right now after this deal. So commercially, makes a lot of sense. They were able to sell the fairy tale story that he can be the superstar. This can be the platform where he finally wins a Ballon d'Or, you know, and can compete with the Messis and the Ronaldos right now. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see how this all goes about. Another little twist to the tale is, remember, the Ballon d'Or and FIFA have split. The Ballon d'Or is run by the French Association now.
That's another conspiracy for another day. Let's look at Barcelona and Coutinho and Sanchez and. Let's look at Barcelona and whoever else that is going to patch that gap left by Neymar, and the fact that there's a chance that that person is not going to come cheap, because whoever is going to be selling their player will know that the buyer has 222 million euros in the bank.
Yeah, so it doesn't come at a great time for Barcelona, this transfer. The league starts on the 18th of August, and which is,
we're already approaching the 18th of August,
which is effectively 2 weeks away. So whichever player Barca go for right now, they're going to overpay for him, and for that fact is because they've got 222 million in the bank right now. Players that are being linked with them, and players that are probably been linked to them for a while, Philippe Coutinho, we know that from Liverpool. He's probably the strongest linked right now with the club. Another one is Angel Di Maria, the former Real Madrid Manchester United winger. They say with Neymar arriving at PSG, his game time could become less. He was unsettled apparently last season at the club, so that could be a way out for him. Another one that has joined the ranks in recent days is Atletico Madrid's Antoine Griezmann.
Antoine Griezmann, yeah.
I think that's the less likely one to happen. The player has made it quite clear that he will be staying with Atletico till at least January,
when with the fact that they have a transfer ban, yeah,
is done. Another one being thrown apart, or been thrown in the mix, is Dybala from Juventus.
Yeah.
Many see him as the heir to Messi, in the Argentina jersey. Could this be the time that he gets pulled across? Can he prove and can he follow that, you know, that mold? And then I think an outside one is Arsenal's Alexis Sanchez. We're not too sure what his future, what's next for him. Is he staying? Is he going?
Yeah, there clearly is a situation, a contractual situation there, and perhaps it is there to be exploited by the likes of Barcelona, who now need to...
Depending how desperate they are.
But the fact that he played for Barcelona with a Barcelona that had Messi at the time and had better players, does it make him reluctant to go back there? Quickly, before we let you go?
I don't know. I think Sanchez is at that part of his career now where he wants to win things. He wants silverware, and he wants to be competing for silverware on a consistent basis. The move to Barcelona makes sense in that way if you want to win silverware and you want to compete. The player is in a contractual situation with Arsenal. We don't know what the future lies. The player has been very hush about it. He hasn't come out to say he is staying or he's definitely going, whatever. He wants silverware. We know that.
And being out of the UEFA Champions League for Arsenal does not help their case.
Does not help their case as well. It's a different manager to when he was there at the club. You know, things, Barcelona is effectively a different club to when he was last there. So could he go back? We don't know. But this could be another outside bet that it could draw him to that side of town, or back to that side of the town.
Keegan Kruger, we thank you very much for your time. He's a Sokala Duma international journalist.
Thanks a lot.
Sokala Duma Radio. And that's it for the week. Thank you very much for listening. And then, as always, sokaladuma.co.za is where you can see all the transfer rumors and transfer links and transfer speculation. Until next week, it's goodbye for now.
Sokala Duma Radio. Sokala Duma Radio.